Today's scripture reading comes to us from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. As they went from town to town, a lot of people joined in and traveled along. He addressed them using this story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some of it fell on the road. It was trampled down and the birds ate it. Other seed fell in the gravel. It sprouted but withered because it didn't have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds. The weeds grew with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in the rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Are you listening to this? Really listening? His disciples asked, "Why did you tell this story?" He said, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are others who need stories. But even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. Their eyes are open, but they don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but don't hear a thing." This story is about some of those people. The seed is the word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it from them, so they won't believe and be saved. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad, and the moment there's trouble, it's gone. And the seeds that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out, and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives, worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. For those who are visiting or new to the church, I'm Liz Walker, and I'm honored to be sharing today's message with you on this Laity Sunday. We are currently in the middle of our stewardship series titled DNA, Past, Present, and Future. The past couple of weeks, we've been telling our story of who we are and where we came from. In our first week, Pastor Arthur addressed our financial needs as spiritual opportunities. Last week, he talked about the importance of focusing on finding the one thing we've lost instead of getting distracted by the 99 problems. Our story continues today with where we are headed and digs a little deeper into the spiritual opportunities Arthur was talking about and focusing on the one thing, the heart of the matter, the root of it. Today, I ask you, church, where are we going? Or it might even be better worded, where are we growing? Jesus in our scripture reading for today is going to help us with the answer to that question. We're going to start by looking at the four types of soil Jesus is referencing in his four stories. As we read through these four stories, I want you to prayerfully ask God to reveal to you which type of soil even this word today is landing on or landing in. We are all in different seasons and in different places in our journey, so I pray there's no condemnation, but only the conviction of the Holy Spirit. No condemnation which leads to guilt or discouragement, but only the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which can also be painful, but is pushing us to a better place. I don't know about you, but I'd rather truthfully know where my soul is in relation to these four soils than continue to not see what God wants me to see, and not hear what God wants me to hear. I mean, if we don't know, then we can't grow. Speaking of condemnation versus conviction, let's take a look at soil type number one, the road or the path. As soon as the seed falls, the devil snatches it away like a bird. Have you ever been at church on Sunday morning and written down the best scripture verse or one-liner from your pastor about who God says you are, but then as soon as you walk out, something or someone reminds you of how insignificant you are, and you believe it. Truth gone, bird ate it. We have to be good stewards of God's word. We have to be good stewards of our souls, our soils, our hearts, and minds. I have to ask you, who's counseling you? The enemy is definitely going to try to use our physical DNA against us. He will try to abuse and exploit our natural tendencies. He knows if we're the type to get angry over an unfair work experience. He knows if we're the type that's going to turn to food when we are upset about our children. The enemy wants the truth not to take root, because when the truth takes root, we will be able to tell the difference between the truth and his lies. And he doesn't want that. We must be good stewards of our hearts and minds. We must apply the truth to our minds like a protective helmet. We must apply the truth to our hearts to align them with God. And that truth, my friends, comes from God's holy word and the work of the Holy Spirit. When we are in the scriptures and rehearse the truth and seek God's word for counsel, we begin to see what God has done for us and says about us, our spiritual DNA. We receive God's grace, we put on God's righteousness that he freely gives us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. If you are hearing anything differently, the bird's eating again. So I ask you, again, who's counseling you? Are you shaping your identity based on Instagram and Facebook likes? Or are you immersing yourself in the truths and promises of God and who he made you to be? Is your soil, your soul, like this path or this road? If so, I pray you seek the truth, immerse yourself in God's promises and your identity as a child of God, ask for conviction, receive God's grace, and grow. Our second soil type is the rocky soil or the gravel where our seed can't take root. There's a little sprout when circumstances are good and therefore God is good, but when there's trouble, it's gone. It's a shallow and superficial faith or fad that goes as soon as the wind blows. This story reminds me of a lack of spiritual muscle. This story reminds me of someone who goes to run a marathon after only training for 2 weeks. No one would do that. Their muscles and bodies hadn't trained properly or long enough. I wouldn't go back squat 200 pounds if I hadn't practiced at 150, 175, etc. I've got some CrossFit Alabaster people in here that would attest to that, okay? Are you being a good steward of your spiritual muscle? If not, practice abiding in the good times. Practice those spiritual disciplines that build up your spiritual muscle endurance so you can withstand the race. At first, it might seem like going through the motions to read your Bible every day, write a gratitude list every day, pray for friends and family. But just like when you're exercising, you're building muscle memory. That way, when you are lifting a heavier weight or running a longer race, you are able to maintain good form. Find yourself an accountability partner or a small group to keep you on track and your momentum going. Ask for conviction. Receive God's grace and grow. Our third soil type is full of weeds of worry, weeds of life's riches, and weeds of life's pleasures that choke the seed. A person with this soil is preoccupied with life's busyness instead of the business of God. That can easily happen when things that were created even for the good take precedent over God, our priority number one. A wise friend of mine says often, the devil doesn't make you bad. He makes you busy. How are you doing today? Busy. How was your weekend? Busy. If this is you, ask yourself, how can I be a better steward of my time? Are there places in your life where you could create some margin or place some boundaries? If you filled out a calendar of how you spent your day or your week, would it represent that God and following God's will for your life is your priority number one? Do you spend more time on Facebook or Netflix than you do reading the Bible or spending time with God or godly community? Do you practice what we believe to be true and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you? In order for us to truly be able to see what we see and hear what we hear, we've got to make sure we've weeded things out of our lives that just keep us busy, but we have no business doing. I pray you ask God to show you some areas in your life where you need to pull some weeds. Ask for his guidance on what opportunities are your best yes opportunities. Ask him to show you what things in your life, even and especially good things, that have taken more attention than they were intended to. Ask for conviction, receive God's grace, and grow. Our fourth and final soil type, the soil type we've all been waiting for, the good soil that yields crop. This, my friends, is where we want to go. This is where we want to grow. We want to be able to hear the word, retain the word, and apply the word. We want deep roots in God's promises and blessings. And from there, we want the fruits of the Spirit to flourish and produce more seeds so we can spread the good news of God's kingdom with others. Oh, how I am feeling really good about this soil. To be honest with you, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I realized as God and I have been writing this sermon over the past year, well, God, me, my family, Priscilla Shire, my favorite Bible study author, Mike Todd, one of my favorite pastors I like to watch online, my coworkers, Jim family, and my Bible study groups. But anyways, I've realized that when I gave my sermon last year, God was confirming that my soil, after years and years and years, was finally in this good soil place. Y'all remember the bricks? Well, let's be real. Who could remember me? Who could forget me throwing bricks from the pulpit? Of course, if you were here, you remember the bricks. But a quick recap for those who may have missed it. So last year, I boldly stood before the congregation and lined up bricks that used to block my communication with God, my strongholds like perfectionism, anger, unforgiveness, to create the image of a brick wall between God and me. I preached about how I use specific scripture, the sword of the Spirit, to knock each brick down one by one. I learned how to tell the truth from the enemy's lies, so no birds eating my seed. Check. I'd been building my spiritual muscle over the years, learning how to study the Bible each day and counting my many blessings on my gratitude list and learning to abide in the good times. Check, check. I had just completed a Bible study about how to create margin in my life, which helped me reset my priorities on God and His will for my life so my seed wouldn't be choked. I was good soil ready. Bring on the crops. Well, that was October 21st, 2018. Looking back over the past year, however, I realized, yep, my seed was planted in the good soil all right, but I missed a major detail in the scripture. Let's read verse 15 again. These are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there is a harvest. See, that day last October, I went straight from seize the word to harvest. I had used the word of God to knock down those bricks, and I was ready to walk in the glorious light. I skipped over that whole hold on no matter what, sticking with it until part. So wait, God, you mean you want me to persevere before I produce? Wait, there's time between seizing the word and harvesting, just like Taylor talked about in the children's moment? Using the words hold on no matter what means I might not like what happens in the in-between? Well, yes, yes, and yes. Let me give you a heads up to hold on no matter what, because I'm going to share with you what God started to reveal to me starting within 2 weeks after my Sermon of Good Soil moment last year. And He and I are still working on it today. So let me take you back to a few minutes ago when we were super excited to find out that our soul is the good soil for God's word. The seed, God's word, is down there, underground, undercover, buried, ready to grow roots, ready to grow fruits, ready for nutrients and water. Ready. But then we realize it's dark underground. I first realized it was dark when my precious son Noah started acting out at school. Oh, and by the way, he told me I could share this with you in hopes that someone will learn and grow from our story. His new school, because they changed schools in third grade, a school that is now in the same school system where I work because I changed school systems last year. So my son in my school system where I'm a teacher leader is now acting out at school. I immediately investigate, try to take control, and try to fix it. Well, after months of me first blaming the teacher, then blaming myself, behavior management plans, and rewards and punishments, long story short, it was getting worse and not better for the entire family and entire faculty. I want you to think about what you typically add to your soil to get stuff to grow, like sometimes comes out of a cow. Yeah, that's what we were going through in our family. But at the time, I didn't realize it was the exact fertilizer I needed because at the time, I was still thinking this was all about Noah. even though one of my best friends told me at the time that I was going to be the one that was going to do the most growing. There'll be more on that in a moment. We were doing everything we knew to do at the time, and we were getting the extra help we need, but it still seemed like nothing was changing. Through the help of some perfectly timed scriptures and a sermon series shared by a friend, God showed me that when you're a seed that's been planted in good soil, the roots have to go down before anything out of the seed can grow up. God showed me that when you're a seed that's been planted in the good soil, nothing is seen on the surface for quite some time in the process, and to trust the process. I'd pray, I'd turn my hurting son over to God, but then I'd take him right back when things got tough. Fast forward to my Emmaus walk in March 2019 over spring break. Without giving too much away, let's just say it was no coincidence that God placed me there with at least four other mothers who have had similar experiences with their child. Without giving too much away, my Martha tendencies were on display all weekend, and I realized that when I knocked down that brick labeled control last year, I wasn't talking about my children. I was willing and happy to knock over the brick labeled control in reference to my classroom or working with teachers or traffic on I-65, even with Forrest, but not about the control I wanted very much to retain over my children. As much as I hated to admit it, because God entrusted me with them, I thought I had control over them. So I decided that weekend at Emmaus, when I went up to communion and looked into a beautiful mirrored mosaic cross, seeing my broken reflection in that cross, and then seeing a painting of Jesus hanging above it, wearing his crown of thorns, that I would crucify my expectations and my plans for Noah right then and there. I came back from that walk, having left my plans at the foot of the cross, truly ready to turn my son over to God. But it wasn't until a couple weeks later, when I was once again looking at shattered glass, but it wasn't on a mosaic cross. It was scattered across my kitchen floor until I finally surrendered. My little buddy, out of anger, had broken our kitchen window with a bat. I looked down at that glass, and I saw myself broken once again, like I had just seen a few weeks earlier, and that's when it hit me. My friend was right. This was about me, my brokenness, my weakness, my heart, my soil, my seed. The word of God has been written on my heart for years. And on April 2nd, 2019, God allowed that window to break. He allowed my heart to break so his word could truly break through and fall in. I had a choice to ask God why, and I did. To ask God where he was, and I did. To get angry, and I did. To isolate and solve this problem on my own, I tried. But I am so thankful that I chose faith over fear. I chose to share my story with others. I was finally ready to let others in. I was finally ready to surrender to God. And when you're down in the dark where God is all you have to sustain you, thank God he is all you need. Even through all my growth leading up to that April evening, I was still holding on way too tight to my hopes, my expectations, and my plans for my little buddy's life. But when we hold on too tightly to something, whether it's our children, our feelings, our stories, our ministries, our money, whatever it may be, our leaves begin to wither. You know the reason why trees' leaves fall off in autumn? Because they're holding on too tightly to their nutrients preparing for winter. Their leaves are sacrificed because the trees are trying to conserve their resources. But remember, like Psalm 1:3 says, we are like trees planted by the streams of God's living water in the good soil whose leaves do not wither. When I was in a first grade classroom recently, they were describing a tree's roots in a writing lesson. This little girl, first grader, when asked what roots reminded her of, said that roots look like hands, fingers stretched out, grabbing onto the soil to help the tree stand. I know, right? She was like six. But if I'm holding on too tightly to my control, my plans, my expectations, my fingers can't stretch out deep and wide in God's promises. I had to let go of what was in my hands and grab on to God's promises for stability and nourishment. Not to sound trite or to even make you break out into a Disney song, but God was telling me to let it go. If I'd let Noah go, I'd grow. With my task-oriented Martha tendencies, I had to learn when God was saying go and when God was saying let go. I continued to rehearse and remind myself. My friends and family continued to rehearse and remind me. I'm in the good soil. I've been talking about seeds and I've been talking about muscles. Well, seeds have to break to grow. Muscles have to break to grow. My seed is broken. Now I'm growing roots, building muscle. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I thank God that I knew I was planted by streams of living water. I thank God he has revealed to me that perseverance leads to character and hope and to consider trials pure joy. I thank God he's taught me how to abide and be grateful and stay planted to endure through these circumstances. I thank God for friends, godly friends and prayer warriors. I thank God that he has grafted me into his family tree. I thank God for the family tree of support that surrounds us, all because I was willing to admit that I was broken and needed help. After I decided to share with my prayer warriors my experience that April night, one of my friends asked if she could come pray over and in my house. The old Liz, her first instinct would have been, oh, my house is dirty. No, that's okay. We're going to be fine. But the new Liz was not going to miss a blessing from God because she didn't want to be vulnerable enough to let someone literally into her mess. Long story short, my friend slowly and prayerfully entered our house, stopping and listening to God in each and every room. She prayed scriptures. She shared with me a specific heaviness in Noah's room and a sense of the enemy trying to use this situation to divide Forrest and me. Before she left, though, God gave her a vision. Now, I don't know if you believe in visions or not, but let me tell you, I do. And here's what she saw. From Isaiah 61:3, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Get you some friends that will draw their vision for you, even though they're worried about how their drawing skills are. This picture, these scriptures, these people, our great and wonderful God, are what get me through the day to day. I used to pray for God to make things back the way they used to be, but now I can't wait to see how much stronger we are through it. I'm willing to persevere to produce because this is where my family is going. This is where my family is growing. I still believe in a God of miracles, and I ask for an instant miracle every day, all these problems solved, right like that. I believe he can do that. I believe he can pour some miracle grow on my seed anytime, and bam. But even if he doesn't, as for me and my house, we will love and serve the Lord. Because of all these ways God blessed me throughout this process, what the enemy wanted me to think was my death, my burial, I now see as my destiny. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I want you to hear that if it's dark and uncomfortable, that probably means you're in the good soil, growing roots, roots that are going to help you withstand anything that comes your way, roots to help you hold on no matter what until the harvest. Deep roots are worth the wait. I'm sharing my story about how the Holy Spirit is sanctifying me with God's love and grace and mighty word and confirming that when your soil is ready, when your soul is ready, you can't help but see God everywhere and hear God everywhere. Really see, really hear. I'm even seeing and hearing certain scriptures like I never have before. I'm sharing this story in hopes that even just one person needs to hear about my journey from Miss Independent to Miss Dependent on God. I'm also sharing this with you because you too have a story worth sharing. You too have a story to steward. As individual disciples and as a community of disciples here at First United Methodist Alabaster, we too have been given insight into God's kingdom and are called to know and share God's story. No, we may not know all the scriptures. We may not be able to quote exactly which miracles Jesus did and where and when he did them. But we do know what Jesus has done for us in our lives. We know how he's transformed us, both individually and as we've explored our past and present as a church these past few weeks. That's how we're going to be good stewards of our stories. Let's become Christians who don't just read the Bible, but those who see the Bible happen in our everyday lives and then passionately share it with others. No, their soils might not be ready yet. No, their souls might not be ready yet. Our soils might not be where they need to be either. But who knows? You could be the one that helps them trim a weed. Your story could be the one story that helps them build some margin in their lives. Your story could be the one that encourages them to stay planted when they badly want to uproot and move. Your story could be the bridge to the river of living water. When people hear about what Jesus has done for you in your life, we won't be able to keep people out of the doors. When we share our stories from the inside out, God will multiply. So, church, today, on this Laity Sunday, October 20th, 2019, I pray you ask for conviction, receive God's grace, and grow. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to open your word together and to share a part of my story, your story, with others. I pray that because we too have been given insight into your kingdom, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, others are empowered to go share their stories. Remind us that when we feel like we've hit rock bottom, it could be for us to discover that you are the rock at the bottom. I give you all the glory and praise for all the miracles you produce from messes and lift this all up in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.